He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday, it's the December 4th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We're hanging on to 30,000 here today. Let's see if we can close out the week above that level. It looks like it's very possible as Boeing has really strengthened here this week. And, of course, Boeing is a major player in that Dow 30. Right now, the Dow is up 106 points, call it. 30,078 is where the Dow resides right now. The S&P 500 is up 17 as it's hitting another new all-time high. 3683, closing in on 3,700. That would be an elevation it's never climbed to before. Meanwhile, over at the NASDAQ, new high there. It's up 53 points, 12,430 on the NASDAQ. Plant a flag at another peak conquered by the NASDAQ, 12,430. Russell 2000 closing in on 2,000. Wouldn't that be something? What kind of sign from God is that? It's up 17 today, 1866. Meanwhile, over at the crude oil pits today, they're slinging some mud around over there. It's up 40 cents today, 46.04. That's the highest level we've seen in a while. So we've got to be happy down in Houston and Dallas, etc. Gold is up 590. They're happy today. 1847 with the gold traders. That's per ounce. Silver's up 20 cents. They're happy in Reno. $24.34 on silver right now. The bond market's the sour market today. You know, we're seeing this thing inch up towards 1 where there's very heavy resistance. If it goes through 1%, we could see a sell-off in the bond market. We're at 0.97 today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management back home in Mount Pleasant, just across the harbor from Charleston, the historic city of Charleston, South Carolina. Happy to be home in my bunker here. And there's certainly a lot of news that is going to emanate from the bunker this morning. We've had a decent week in the market. The battle for 30,000 may be conquered, may be won this week by the Dow. We may end the day above that. I think Boeing has been the big catalyst there. And Apple has had a pretty good week, actually, with some upgrades. Now, everything was going pretty well yesterday until Pfizer came along and said, you know what, we're going to have some issues here with supply chain to get this vaccine out. Pfizer expects to ship only half of the COVID-19 vaccine doses this year that it originally planned due to supply chain obstacles. Now, I hope that's not in China. I thought we're getting rid of those supply chain issues in China. But that causes a near-term problem considering its ultra-cold storage requirements of minus 70 degrees Celsius. And I want to say that equates to minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit, a system we're a little bit more familiar with here in the U.S. of A. A company spokesperson for Pfizer stated that the headwinds were due to a later-than-expected data readout from the pivotal trial and challenges scaling up the raw materials supply chain. And ultra-cold chain requires special refrigerators for storage and dry ice for shipping, both out of the norm for the distribution of vaccines. Well, we're waiting to hear from Moderna. Maybe they can get theirs out quicker. Theirs does not have these extreme logistic issues. But having said that, Pfizer expects to ship 50 million doses globally by the end of the month. compared to its original plan of 100 million. And it expects to ship more than 1 billion doses in 2021. Where will these shipments be made from? The final assembly and distribution centers, Kalamazoo, Michigan, and Poers, Belgium. Okay, that's going to be your two launching points for the COVID vaccine. And, of course, we still haven't heard from Moderna, whose vaccine seems to be just as effective as Pfizer's, if not more, and doesn't require the extremely cold temperatures. But that did put a damper on the market yesterday. So, you know, that's just going to push forward the date where, if we ever do get back to normal, what's normal? I don't know. Am I normal? Are you normal? I don't know. Everybody's not normal except me. That's what we think sometimes. We're hoping for normalization across America and the world at some point in time. The whole world is in commotion, wearing masks, lockdown, shutdown, sitting at home, working from home. We would like to get back to some semblance of normality at some point in the future. The jobs report, that is a big one. It came in lighter than expected. November, non-farm payrolls plus 245,000. What was expected? 500,000. So that's a pretty big miss. And I've got to say that that was caused by the spike that we've seen in October, November, and the first week of December in COVID. I mean, there's definitely a strong correlation there. So only 245,000 jobs created in November. Hey, that's better than going backwards. The unemployment rate drops to 6.7%. Remember, we were down under 3% back in February of this year. We had a really good PMI, that's the Purchasing Managers Index report, came in hotter than expected. How hot? Well, PMI records the fastest expansion in the private sector output since March of 2015. How do you like them apples? That's a pretty good number there. And it may, I would say the jobs number probably speeds up the negotiations for another COVID relief package. The PMI number, on the other hand, didn't really help too much, but there will be another massive, massive stimulus package down the road at some point, I would expect. Mortgage rates begin December week this week with yet another low of 2.71%. That's what a 30-year loan will cost you. However, watching the bond market here recently, those are two charts that I show every single week in my newsletter, which I'll be writing today. If you're not getting my weekly newsletter, I can't even imagine why, unless you don't care about your portfolio or, you know, your IRAs or your 401ks, whatever. The bond market. I show a chart of two things, the bond market and interest rates. There's a very important chart on interest rates that I will be publishing again this week. The support and resistance levels. Yes, every little thing has a technical chart and a pattern and what it's done over the last several years, where the support levels are at, where the resistance levels are at. I can just tell you that the bond market is sitting on its support level right now. If it breaks through that support level, that could be bad. So far, it hasn't done that. It has not done that yet. And I'm not really expecting it to break through its support level, but it's a possibility. And that could change our stance just a little bit on the fixed income market. Now, the other chart that I watch very closely, actually, there's two more charts associated with the bond market. The next one I watch is the chart of the 10-year interest rate. There's very heavy resistance where we're at right now. Just like Dow, 30%, 30,000. The bond market has very stiff resistance at 1%. Now, if it should break above that, we could see a further sell-off in the bond market. So I'll be watching the technicals. And the third chart is the yield curve, which has been widening over the last several weeks, indicating no real signs of any recession soon. But I will also be updating those yield curve charts and giving my comments on those also. Those are very critical charts to be watching right now, as the bond market seems to be the weak link in the market right now. Well, Thanksgiving sales, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, how has it gone so far? The U.S. blacklists two more large Chinese companies. What impact is that having on the NASDAQ and our relations with China right now? And who's buying Bitcoin these days? It continues to rally. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now. Well, I'm hoping for a little bit more of a normal year in 2021. I'm itching to get back to Sarasota and meet with folks and do some workshops here in 2021. I'm itching to get back to Minnesota, Minneapolis, itching to get back to Atlanta, other cities, get down to Boca Raton, etc. But, you know, we got to get this pandemic stuff here behind us. Hopefully the vaccines, plural, will do the trick. And we can start planning some trips, meeting with the folks again here in 2021. As 2020 comes to an end, what a year, boy. Three more weeks in 2020. It's been a good year for the market, however. I still haven't found anybody that was as bullish as I was back on March the 19th of this year when I said Boeing has bottomed. That means the Dow has bottomed. What are you waiting for? And I wrote several articles after that in Seeking Alpha, reinforcing that point. And it helped us to one of our best years. I remember 2013 we knocked the ball out of the park. We try to do it every single year. We do just fine, but there's just some years that are spectacular. And this has been another one in the books for us. Hopefully, 2021 will be even better. We've set a high bar. I like high bars, though. I like challenges. Let's see what we can do together in 2021. I hope you'll join us in 2021. All right, let's see what else we've got. U.S. blacklists China's second largest chip maker and oil producer. Wow. Those are some big companies, okay? SMIC is not a small company. It's China's largest chip maker. Now, you think that would be good news for the AMDs and the Qualcomms and the likes of the world, but it also escalates tension between us and China. That sleeping giant, not so sleepy these days. They loom out there on the horizon, does China. Trump also blacklisted their biggest oil company. I mean, this is their Exxon CEO. That is Sinuk Inc. CEO. The China says it does not engage in industrial espionage. U.S. officials have long claimed that local firms are beholden to the Chinese Communist Party and collect sensitive information on behalf of the People's Liberation Army. Well, we'll see what China does in return. Bitcoin. Now, in the past, Bitcoin has been driven mostly by Asian buyers. In 2017, the bull market in crypto seemed very much driven by wave upon wave of retail buying in Asia. Well, we know that Kim Jong-un in North Korea was using Bitcoin. I'm sure China's involved in Bitcoin. However, this year's move is different, with increased acceptance by large North American buyers. Well, we talked about a large technology company named MicroStrategy that took $500 million in cash that they had sitting in the bank. They moved it to Bitcoin. You've got Square now accepting Bitcoin. You've got PayPal now accepting Bitcoin. You've got a major hedge fund manager, Paul Tudor Jones, investing in Bitcoin. And you've got another one, Scott Minard at Guggenheim, and maybe even BlackRock. So it's becoming more and more mainstream is Bitcoin. I know that the S&P 500 is going to establish a Bitcoin or a digital coin index with about 660 different coins. Bitcoin, however, continues to remain the kingpin, so-called kingpin of the digital currencies. I have a little exposure through GBTC, which is the Bitcoin Trust. Okay, I don't have to buy the individual coins. I can buy the ETF that owns said coins. Okay, what one of the big reasons that the Dow is above 30,000, and I said earlier this week I think it's going to stick this week, is Boeing. Boeing has broke out. However, I see Boeing running into very stiff resistance right now. It's running into the same resistance that it ran into in late May when it hit 234, 235. We're right there again, but Boeing got a big order yesterday. Man, that's some welcome news for Seattle and South Carolina. Ryanair, I believe they're out of Ireland, Ryanair, announced an order for 75 additional 737 MAX jets. Yes, those same jets that were grounded for what? I don't know how long it's been since the last one was in the air. And the last one that was ordered, well, Ryanair announces an order for 75 additional 737 MAX jets. How does that affect your 401k, your well, it's a big component, a big constituent of the Dow. It's a big constituent of the S&P 500. It's a big constituent of the indexes. If you own large-cap mutual funds or large-cap U.S., growth funds, Boeing is a big constituent. So that is good news that Boeing is starting to get some more orders. Well, I've seen quite a change in my lifetime in the movie and the theater business. You know, I'm originally, the first 7 years of my life, 8 years, I guess, maybe 9 years, was actually in Burbank, California, beautiful downtown Burbank. I was born in Glendale, which is a neighboring city. And so we were all around the studios and Hollywood and the premieres and the Academy Awards and all this kind of thing. Burbank was home to many of the large studios. Well, what a shakeup here. Warner Brothers will send all of its 2021 movies to HBO Max the same day they hit theaters. An unprecedented shattering of the cinema release window. Well, you know, in the past, you had to wait a while to get these released movies. They ran the theater circuit first, where people pay top dollar for popcorn and soda pops and hot dogs and Skittles, etc. Now they're going directly to streaming. HBO Max, at least the Warner Brothers films, they've got 17 films coming this year, including Dune, The Matrix 4, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, etc., bypassing the theater, going right to streaming. What does this mean for Netflix? And there's breaking news on the electric vehicle. We've got three or four more stocks in this sector to talk about today. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, if anything, this market has gotten stronger since we were last together. The Dow is now up 147 points, and it's got 116 points above that elevation of 30,000 feet right now. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ's up about 45 to 12,422. No more Radio Disney. They're going to shut down. You know, I remember I was on a few stations that were formerly Radio Disney stations, and they were bought by Salem along the way, and my show all of a sudden came on, and people were asking, where's Mickey? When I came on, they said, well, he's a Mickey Mouse outfit, Gunderson Capital. So I was on a lot of Radio Disney former stations. I guess they're still around. Not anymore. Radio Disney, the shutdown amid companies restructuring. Completely driverless cars are on the streets in China. Look out. Look both ways before you cross the street. Self-driving cars without human drivers as a backup are now being tested in China's Shenzhen province, according to Alibaba-backed AutoX, which said there were 25 vehicles operating in the city. Well, they had some of those, you remember, in Phoenix. And a bike rider was killed by a driverless car. That was a major setback in the testing over there. In addition to this, more than 100 robo-taxis have been launched in other Chinese localities. But these vehicles still have a driver who can take over in emergencies or someone who can operate the car remotely. Well, where does this technology come from? Well, there's a lot of different companies involved in this technology, including LiDAR company Luminar Technologies. I brought this one to your attention here recently. Oh, they backdoored into one of these SPAC mergers, which was called GMHI. That was the symbol as of yesterday or 2 days ago. Well, now the symbol has changed to Lazer, L-A-Z-R. That stock was up 40% yesterday. L-A-Z-R. They make some of the technology. They develop autonomous vehicle sensors and software to make autonomy safe and ubiquitous. Luminar is already a $1.5 billion company. Guess what? It's up another 30% today. The CEO of this company is 25 years old. And from what I understand, that is the fastest anybody's gone to being a billionaire on what? Luminar Technologies, symbol Lazer. Now, I recently, my lease was up on my car, and I got a new version, 2021, and I was coming home yesterday from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Man, I'll tell you what, the cruise control is unbelievable. You set it, and it maintains, you know, whatever the safe distance is between you and the car in front of you. I never, ever had to put my foot on the gas pedal for hundreds of miles. If traffic slowed down and I had my cruise control set at 75, it would slow down and maintain my seven-length gap, whatever, in front of the car before me. And as traffic sped up once again, it would speed up on its own. Wow. Amazing technology. I also have a driving assist, which, yeah, I mean, you got a pretty light hand needed on the steering wheel. I don't have completely driverless capabilities. I think I want to keep one hand on the steering wheel. But anyways, the technology has come a long, long ways. Daimler, which is Mercedes-Benz, they're going to invest $70 billion over the next 4 years towards electrification and digitization. You know what I see happening? I see the same thing happening that happened with iPhones. Okay, so like the car I had for 2 years, the technology had become obsolete pretty much, right? My navigation and autonomous driving technology. I think you're going to see more turnover, people turning in a car that's a year old or 2 years old to get the Apple 11 and the Apple 12. But instead, they'll be buying the Ford Excursion 12, the Range Rover 13, whatever, because technology is developing so quickly in this industry. I think it's going to be a big boost for the automobile industry. Trade the old one in. It doesn't have the latest technology. Okay, you know how that works. Another player in this, Foresight Autonomous. Now, this stock has been dead for quite some time. It's all of a sudden waking up. It's out of Israel. FRSX. Foresight Autonomous rallies on taking part in automation of the future heavy-duty vehicles. Keep your eye on FRSX. You can find it in my Best Stocks Now app. But all of a sudden, they're in play in this sector. Now, you'll find all of these stocks in my app in the auto sector. If you click on the auto sector, it will list all of the stocks in the auto sector from the best to the worst. Okay? And that's where I keep adding stocks almost every day to the auto. I remember a day not too long ago when the auto sector had about three stocks in it, Ford, GM, and Chrysler. Well, look how it's grown. I don't know how many stocks I have in the auto manufacturing sector now, but it has grown significantly. Okay, Blink Charging. They inked an agreement with JSC Management, a large Burger King franchisee, for deploying 26 dual-port Level 2 IQ200 EV charging stations at key Burger King locations across the Northeast. Well, you know what? That's what you're going to see. You're going to see this build-out happen. Restaurants, hotels, fast food restaurants, they can make a little money off you while your car's charging. That seems to be a way to go right now. Blink Charging is a distant second, however, to the leader in the industry, which is, I just got a pop-up ad for this company to buy a charger for my house. What's the name of the company that is the dominant player in the industry? Well, it's a backdoor company that recently went public. And I'll come up with the name of that one in a minute. But right now, Blink Charging in the news is they're going to put some of their charging units in Burger King's. All right. Denmark puts an end to North Sea oil and gas exploration. That's another trend. You know, Norway has got a lot of oil. Denmark's got a lot of oil. There's a lot of oil in the North Sea. They're just going to let it remain there, let it sit. Denmark was the largest producer of oil and gas in the European Union. They're putting an end to all oil and gas exploration and extraction in the North Sea by 2050, as well as canceling its latest licensing round. They're putting an end to the fossil fuel era in Denmark. Dan Jorgensen, Denmark's climate minister, says. Here's more news of the day. News that is symbolic of what's going on in the world. Two more coal companies slide into bankruptcy. KOL slides into bankruptcy, and Lighthouse Resources. They own coal mines in Wyoming and Montana. Now, where is my wife going to buy the coal for lumps of coal in my stocking this year with these coal companies going out of business? Well, it's just a sign of the times. What can I say as we move to electrification? Okay, let's see. Moderna. They say Participants ChargePoint is the name of the company. That, you know, sometimes the cobwebs, I have so many symbols, so many moving averages, so many resistance lines, so many support lines rattling through my brain. And there's a publicly traded company that ChargePoint is, and I can't think of the symbol right now. It was one of these backdoor. I'm sure the guys will have that to me next. When we come back, I'll finish up my Moderna story, and then I've got a featured stock of the day for you. This is Bill Gunderson's The Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Bill Gunderson. I will be working on the newsletter today. I want you to take a look at our portfolios. If you can find better portfolios out there in the marketplace these days, you know what? Let me know about it. We have done pretty well this year. Look at that. The Nasdaq's up 63 right now. Continues to gain some steam here. We're hitting a new all-time high at our firm, and you've got the Dow now up 170. You're going to see a 30,000 close today. I predicted that earlier in the week. Boeing is kind of leading the charge there. The newsletter will go out tomorrow afternoon. We'll get it out as soon as we can. You can go to my website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. The newsletter might just change your whole way of looking at the market and the way you invest and how to ferret out some of these best stocks now, how to analyze just the very important issues as it relates to the macro outlook for the market. The market follows earnings, okay? Indexes follow earnings and stocks follow earnings. That's kind of the crux of it all, and it's quite a simple strategy, really, to watch earnings and future earnings expectations on the indexes and on your individual stocks and pay close attention to valuations, pay close attention to momentum, etc. Because at the end of the day, is it not just logical that you want to own the very best? You want to put the very best players on the field that you possibly can? If you're a dividend investor, don't you want to find the very best growth companies that are paying a dividend so you can get double pop, total return, capital appreciation, and dividends? No guarantees. But I would much rather own a dividend company that's growing its earnings at a superior pace and paying a dividend, because that dividend yield's probably going to go higher over the years, as opposed to a company that's not growing anymore. And that's all they have to offer is the dividend. What if you own a large cap conservative growth portfolio? Do you want to own the no growth companies of yesteryear? The IBMs of the world, the AT&Ts of the world? These companies are not growing anymore. They're single digit growers. All things being equal, you should get single digit returns out of those stocks going forward. And if you want to accept mediocrity, there's plenty of that in our business. Oh boy, our industry, my industry, is jam-packed full of mediocrity. If you're happy with mediocrity, continue doing what you're doing. I believe that there's better stocks out there than a lot of these mediocre growth giants of yesteryear. I call them soggy, stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear. They've got recognizable names. They're an easy sell for the big wirehouses of the world, but it doesn't take much work to put you into a bunch of these 2 or 3% growers where everybody's going to recognize the names of those companies. That's kind of the mantra. And the second most popular methodology, or maybe the first most popular methodology these days, is an asset allocation based on your age. Well, I think there's other factors that you got to take into account than just your age. What about the economy? What about the valuation of the S&P 500? When it gets too high, maybe you should have less exposure to the stock and equities market. What if we're headed into a recession? Does that mean you should hang on to that age-based allocation that the computer spits out when the economy is headed into a recession? Does that mean you should stay in that bond percentage that the computer spits out when interest rates start to soar and inflation starts to kick in? Aren't those major factors too? So maybe passive, I try to be as passive as possible. I want to be as passive as possible and own these companies and own these sectors and own these asset classes for as long as I can. But when things start to change, that's where the active starts to come into play. There's big, big, big cyclical shifts from time to time in the economy, in the world, in technology. Look at how we're moving away from the fossil fuels and into the clean energy part. You don't think that's a major factor in constructing a portfolio in today's? But if you want to do it the old way, you're going to buy oil stocks because they pay big dividend yields, and tobacco stocks as the world moves away from tobacco, as the world moves away from long-distance telephone calling, AT&T, etc. The world is changing every day. Your portfolio has to reflect, in my opinion, what's going on in the world today. That's why I spend so much time every morning getting a good handle and a feel for what's going on in the world today. And that newsletter, that's my own internal research. I want to make sure I've looked down every little nook and cranny of the market. I'm not going to get to a featured stock of the day. I have a blockbuster that you've never heard of. It'll be in the newsletter tomorrow. It's a semiconductor equipment maker that I followed for the last 20 years that all of a sudden has new life. Because what sector is it involved in now? The electronic vehicle sector. The hottest sector in the market. I've got a new find in there of an old stock that has new life. Well, I'll do my best to put out a newsletter. My internal research will go down every nook and cranny of the market. You can go right to the portfolios when you get the newsletter. You can go right to the macro outlook. You can go right to the technical analysis that I do on the major asset classes. Better yet, go right to your phone. Doggone it. Put us to work for you in 2021. My advisors can help steer you into the portfolio that would be right for you, the right allocation based on, yes, your age, your risk tolerance, but also what's happening in the world today. We can be reached at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And if you just want a soft introduction, just peek around the corner at what we do here on a daily basis and our pride and joy, our portfolios, and the performance that we work so hard to achieve here. Get the newsletter. That's not so hard, is it? GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Okay, this has been fun. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. I can't wait to get back here on Monday and start all over again. Take care, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.